Okay. Hi, it's Diane. It is Thursday night, February 18th, and I've got the 8 p.m. group tonight, and we are talking about curiosity. So let's start with celebrations and check-in. We've got Jeanette, Lisa, and Dawn so far. So who wants to celebrate and check in first?
Well, I'm just starting. This is my very first time, so I've just read through the lesson, and I'm waiting to get started.
Well, Jeanette, we're glad to have you. So let me just kind of walk you through the format of the call. So this group, that we start by having everybody just kind of say how things have been going since the last call. Since you're new to the group, we'd love to have you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your family and some of your key challenges, and then and one thing maybe you're celebrating, and then we'll do we'll each take aim on a particular area. I'll have everybody in the group take aim on a particular area. I'll do a teaching for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll have a conversation. We'll do some laser coaching as there's time, and then everyone will kind of, at the very end, we'll do a wrap-up, and everybody will figure out kind of what they're doing in terms of action before our next call. And that's really the outline of all of the calls that we do, and we're so excited to have you with us tonight. What time is it where you are today?
It's 12 o'clock on Friday, lunchtime.
Okay, so it's lunchtime. This is perfect. So you get to sit on lunch, and we're here at 8 o'clock at night on the East Coast. So good.
It's absolutely perfect. No kids and no husband, and it's great.
Awesome. Jeanette, tell us a little bit about your family and about and why you joined the Parent Success System.
Okay. I've got three children. Joshua is 13. Nathan is 11, and Tara is 10. All kids are complex, all with different complexities. My eldest son is probably the most challenging. He is very good at manipulating the entire family, and in fact, I would say he's pretty much got control over everything, with the way he impacts on everyone in the family. He's really smart, but he does have learning difficulties at school, which he isn't owning. He's very hyperactive, can't concentrate or focus. I have enormous problems with him with homework, with time management. If things don't go his way, he will get aggressive, and he's quite abusive verbally. He winds up his brother and sister mercilessly, and doesn't appear to have a lot of empathy at all, which concerns me. At the same time, he is also very needy and wants the love and attention. I think he's just incredibly frustrated within himself, and I can see that. But with the way my husband and I parent very differently, so I find I'm trying to just keep the calm a lot of the time and pick up the pieces of the reactions from my husband's very authoritative way of parenting. He's Greek, and it's do as I say, bang, do it, or look out. So he, at the moment, is a big concern of mine. He will do things, but I find I've read quite a bit about your style and teaching and setting smaller goalposts for him, I think will definitely work. I think I probably throw too much at him and he just gets too overwhelmed with it all. My second child, he's been diagnosed with severe dyslexia. He's a really gorgeous, happy guy, happy with life. Just really struggling at school with, he is in grade 6 and he's probably at about a grade 3 level. He's about 3 years behind with his reading, writing and spelling, but he is coping well. And then my daughter, who's 10, is also, she's quite similar. She's like the female version of Joshua, my eldest, but she, of course, cops a lot more and she's high anxiety. Everything is a mountain is made out of a molehill. For example, she is a really good swimmer, but she didn't want to do swimming sports because she thinks everyone will laugh at her because she's not very good, and she won't go because if she's not swimming, then it's what everyone will think of her. She just, she perceives things in a different way, and it's not reality. So to get her to go and do something takes a lot of effort. She did get to swimming. She won her races, and like that's a big, big improvement. Now she's walking on cloud nine and thinking she's great. So she kind of goes up and down all the time, has a lot of fears and a lot of anxieties, and she also has struggles with the word no. If something, you know, if she wants something and I say, well, no, not at the moment, or no, you can't do that, she flares up straight away and she will hit, scream and kick and just blow.
Well, you've got it sounds like you've got a, what do they call it? It's almost like a full house, right?
So it's a really full house. And I think my background, I've got a teaching background and I have worked with disadvantaged young people. So I've had a lot of knowledge to bring to this, but I've just kind of gone, I've got all these balls up in the air and they're all starting to fall around me, and I need some help with really supporting myself, because my husband also believes that I'm the problem, that I see problems in the kids, that he said, just leave it, let it be, they'll be fine, which, you know, is not going to be
the
case.
It's a hard situation to be in, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not supported by him. He's incredibly dyslexic himself, and I'm his solution for everything. And I would say he's also pretty much on the ADHD spectrum, which I would actually put myself on as well, but in different ways. I'm just, I'm quite scattered. So I try too many things at once, and if it doesn't work, I'll try something else again really quickly. And I think sometimes with doing that, I haven't set routines in place to give them a really, really, really good go, because I've kind of gone, oh, no, they're not working. If you know what I mean.
So no, I do. So Jeanette, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your situation and what brings you here. I think it'll be fun to see kind of how you acclimate to the group. I think this is the Thursday night group. I love this. Well, I love all my groups, but this is a great group, and kind of connected. There's a couples that are in this group. And normally, we've got just a small group tonight, but I'm glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
So, Lisa or Dawn, who wants to check in and celebrate next?
This is Dawn. I'll check in. So, celebration is that I think I've gotten through to my son why I do some of the things that I do. So, on a car ride to school, he asked me, well, why do you have me get up? I mean, why do you tell me I need to be ready to leave by 6:35 to go to school? So I explained to him that when he's actually driving himself, he needs to be able to leave in enough time so that he can find, you know, so he can get to a parking spot and park and get to class on time. Because when I drive him, I just drop him off and I don't have to find a place to park. So, and I explained to him what I'm trying to do is set, you know, build some foundation for him and habits that will help him, because his brain works a little bit differently than a non-ADD brain. So he understands it now that I'm trying to build habits for him, help him build habits so that when he goes off to college, he will have a good foundation of things to help him compensate for the things that he lacks, because his brain functions a little differently than a non-ADD brain.
Wow. Isn't it nice when they the doors open and you go, wow, you got it. This is great.
And then he actually tried to take it a step further. And when I told him, I said, when my daughter was going to college, and I said, you also need to be able to, and he pretty much get up on his own on time most of the time, but sometimes he doesn't. But I said to him, you know, one thing that's important is to get up on your own and get up on time, because I remember my daughter went to college in the orientation and the lady said, well, how many of you in here have your parents wake you up to go, you know, to get up to go to school in the morning, and half the kids raised their hand. And the lady said, well, you need to stop that now because your parents won't be here to wake you up. So then my son says to me, well, I plan on having all afternoon classes, to which I just had to laugh. And he goes, what? You told me to start doing things to help compensate for my shortcomings. And I said, okay, let me backtrack. Let's do some things that are realistic that help you compensate for your shortcomings, because having all afternoon classes for 8 semesters is not realistic. So we're getting there.
Awesome. That's quite a bit to celebrate, Don. So cool. Lisa, what about you?
Last week, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, I had my son's IEP at school, which is the Individualized Education Plan, for if you guys don't know. And then, so that went really well, and he's in sixth grade, and next year he's going to be going to middle school. And I spent a lot of time, you know, getting prepared for this IEP and, you know, talked to a few people and did a lot of research and everything. And it just went really well. So, you know, maybe they don't care because they're not going to be there in middle school next year, but, you know, they gave me every accommodation that I asked for. And so the only thing that they said was I told them I wanted to meet with the counselor from the middle school before middle school starts, and they said, well, we don't know about that, but I'm going to call the middle school. So anyway, I just feel really good about that, and I feel really good about how my son is doing in school and the support and accommodations that he has. You know, just, I kind of feel like it's finally all coming together and working. You know, now I have the teacher, like, she emails me at the beginning of the week if there's any tests or quizzes, so that way, you know, I can be sure that, you know, to support my son, to make sure that, you know, he knows so that he can get ready for them. And so we've been having a lot of success at school. So, and I feel like we're also having success. Like, he's getting more, a little bit more independent. Like, now, he went to the tutor today, and he just went by himself. Like, he rode on his scooter from school to the tutor. And, you know, we talked about safety and stuff, and, you know, it's about a mile and a half, and he did it, and he texted me when he got there. And so I'm feeling really, really good about him and how he's doing. So.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, lots of things going on that we're celebrating tonight. So let's go back and take aim. And Don and Lisa, I'm going to ask you to take aim so that Jeanette can learn the process. But we take aim at the beginning of a call so we can focus in on one particular challenge area. There's so many different challenges that we have in our households, but really kind of saying, okay, this, I'm going to put my attention in this direction tonight. Really helps us so that we can prioritize and potentially move some things forward. So, Lisa, do you know already where you want to take aim?
No, because I need to. What's the topic tonight? Sorry.
The topic is curiosity.
No, I don't know yet. I'm gonna think about it for a few minutes. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Don?
I'm still taking aim on the same thing that almost from the beginning, the morning routine, specifically getting him downstairs by 6:35 so we can leave the house by 6:50.
And remind me, Don, so the morning routine, and I'm doing this more for Jeanette than and for the folks that are listening, so there's like 20 steps from the pillow to the bus stop. What part of the morning routine is the place where you feel like your son most gets tripped up?
See, that's the thing. It's almost something different every day. It's either
interesting.
I forgot to set my alarm, or I overslept and I hurt my alarm. I turned it off and went back to sleep, or I forgot to do my laundry, so I didn't have any clean clothes, so I had to scramble to find something to wear. So it's something different every day, just about. Before, it was mostly he would get up on time, but he would just kind of take his time to get downstairs. But this past 2 weeks, it's been something different every day.
Interesting. Well, this will be something fun to get curious about, Don, I think. So.
Yes.
So hold on to that thought for just a minute, and then I'm going to loop around. So, Jeanette, the idea, I don't know if you've listened to any of our webinars and have heard us talk about taking aim. Does this concept make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So where would you like to take aim tonight?
Well, mine is also, mine's also in the morning with getting to school on time or getting out to the car on time. And it's, Nathan's fine. He gets himself off and does that. But both Joshua and Tara, Joshua comes downstairs and he gets distracted hugely by going on his laptop. And he, I very sadly, I make their lunches and I have them packed. They're ready for them to put in their bags. And I'll help them, you know, I'll get their breakfast for them as well. So I've kind of dug myself a hole a little bit there. But they have to pack their bag, get everything they need, brush their teeth, do their hair, and out to the car by 8:15. And he will just sit on his laptop and just completely immerse himself in that, and time doesn't even register with him. And the same with Tara. So, and at the times I've tried to say there's nothing in the morning until you get in the car or until everything's done, that just results in anger. And then we still don't get anywhere. So I'm at a bit of a loss.
So it sounds like specifically, so you're looking at the mornings, but you're, and I love how you took, you drilled in a little bit, and we, because we take aim on one particular area, and it sounds like the distraction of the computer, the laptop in the morning, that's getting in the way of one of the things that's getting in the way, and so you want to focus in on that in terms of where you want to take
aim.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that would probably be where I'd want to focus in on. Yep.
Okay, great. So Lisa, coming back to you.
I think that what I want to focus is, again, now you guys reminding me of the morning routine, and we're doing better, but I am still getting really stressed out and mad sometimes. So I want to take aim on me not getting so upset if we are running late and things aren't going according to plan.
Okay. So if you get, so help me get really specific here. What is it that you feel is the big challenge? I mean, obviously it's making you guys late, but is there a particular part of the process where you feel like the family's getting tripped up that you would want to focus it on?
Well, I think that my son needs to get up earlier.
So let me interrupt you for a second. So that's the solution. What's the challenge?
What's the challenge to him getting up earlier?
No. So getting up earlier would solve the problem. The big problem is you're getting out of the door late. So is it because there's not enough time to do all the things that need to be done? Is it because he's getting distracted while he's trying to do the things that he needs to do? Is it that he doesn't know what he needs to do and so he gets off task? Is it that he has a hard time getting out of bed? Where in the process do you
know? Unfortunately, it's all of the above. You know, he doesn't get out of bed.
So let's pick one that we think that might be the place to start, Lisa.
Well, I think, just if he could get him out of bed a little bit earlier, I think then we'll have more time, and then we'll get out on time, because then we can have time for distraction and on me refocusing him and everything.
So you want to focus in on getting him out of bed and getting him out of bed. Okay, great. All right, so we are talking tonight about getting curious, and we are on page, I can't remember what it is, like 30. Does anybody have a workbook open and can tell me what page we're on, 36, 34? 34, thanks, Dawn, appreciate it. 34 of the workbook, talking about curiosity. And this is one of my favorite topics for a lot of reasons, but it's interesting. I was telling the group this morning, I have a post-it note on my window right in front of my desk that says, be curious. And I love this because it helps me, and you guys who've known me a while know that I'm a recovering yelling mom, and that when I get triggered, I know that one of the easiest places for me to go instead of getting triggered is to get curious. And so I love curiosity as a tool because it stops us in a lot of ways. So if I'm a fix-it mom and my kid comes to me I'm in a situation with my child and they're having a really hard time, you know, for a lot of us, our first inclination is, let's do this. This is the solution. And I don't want to pick on you, Lisa, but it's kind of like, we're having problems in the morning. This is the solution. I'm going to make him get up earlier, and that's going to solve the whole thing. And so a lot of times as parents, we do really focus on solutions. And if we take a minute before that and kind of really stop and say, what's going on? What's going on for our kids? What's going on for us? What's going on in the environment? If it's the school situation, what's going on in school? And just kind of without judgment, stay in a place where we're just kind of, well, I wonder what's going on with this, and I wonder what they might be thinking, and I wonder what they might be feeling, and I wonder what might be hard for them. It helps you to stay out of fix-it mode. For a lot of us, if we're triggered, it can be a great way to kind of say, okay, wait a second, instead of getting upset about this, I'm gonna get curious about it. And it can be a really great way of connecting with our kids, because if we don't assume, we don't make assumptions, we don't just jump to solving. You know, if our kid comes home and they're like, I don't like that kid in my math class, I don't want to hang out with him. You know, if you just say, oh, sweetie, you got to be nice to everybody, you'll be fine, you'll figure it out. You know, we jump to problem solving mode. We're gonna potentially come up with a different sort of solution than if we say, well, what's really going on with this kid in math class? And we get curious first. And so a lot of times we'll forget this step, but it's a really important place to start. And we had a really great conversation today with the group this morning about curiosity around ourselves. And so if we notice that we have a particularly strong reaction to a situation, you know, kind of looking and going, well, gee, I wonder why this is upsetting me so much, or I wonder why this is overwhelming me so much. You know, it can be another great place to kind of to get curious, because a lot of times when we feel stuck as a family or stuck as a parent, it's because we're not really clear about what's going on for us in this situation. So if you're having a hard time with your child's reaction, you know, so I've got quite a few parents whose one of their big concerns is their kids speaking in disrespectful tones, you know, and so it's kind of like, well, you know, what is it about that language that really just, you know, eats at me or triggers me or whatever it is? And really getting clear about that can really help you to get beyond solving the problem, because with a lot of times with our kids, their impulse control isn't what they want it to be. And so the solution may not be, okay, I'm going to just get my kid to stop being snarky. You know, the solution may be, how do I resolve to be a little bit more accepting, maybe let go a little bit more. And a lot of times we need to really understand what's going on for us in order to be able to do that. So, again, it's a great tool for connecting with our kids. It's a great tool for helping us stay out of fix-it mode and staying more in problem-solving mode. It can be a great way to avoid triggers and a great way to kind of really understand yourself in a different way. So as I share that, what comes up for you guys in terms of this topic of curiosity?
Can I speak?
Go for it.
I'm just thinking, why is it that the very first thing he has to do in the morning is to get up and to go on his laptop? Like, what is he looking at? Well, I know he checks messages, and then he goes on to YouTube with soccer. He's obsessed with soccer. Or he'll go on to just watching different YouTube things of different ones that just he finds funny or interesting, and then he just loses himself in that. So I have kind of gotten curious about what he likes to do, but I'm still struggling with how to stop him. The reason he doesn't want to stop is because he knows he's going to go to school. He won't be able to look at it there.
Right, so he doesn't want to not have it. He likes to feel connected. What it sounds like to me is that there's a connection for him. There's a connection to what's going on with his friends. There's a connection to what's going on with his favorite sport. And so he wants to feel that connection before he has to go off and be shut off in school. So I'm curious. One of the things that we often use when we're helping our kids to make a behavior change is we add some kind of motivation. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you could switch it around and find a way to use the laptop as a motivation to get everything done and in first. So instead of getting, and I remember very distinctly doing this with my kids, and that screen time became a privilege instead of a right.
Yeah.
And so it was something that if you, when you are downstairs at 10 after 7, you earn 30 minutes. And when you are in my car at 7:35, you earn 30 more minutes. And so it's a way of kind of turning it around as a motivation to say, okay, you really want to use the screen. I get it. I don't want to keep you from it. And we still also have to get out of the house in the morning. So I'm wondering, what do you think of when I share that as an idea, Jeanette?
I think it's how I word it to him, because I know in the past I've said there's no laptop or there's no iPad until you've done everything and you're ready to go and your bag is packed, ready to go, then you can have it. And they haven't seen it as a privilege. They've just seen that as me coming in hard, being unfair, and I get verbal abuse, and then they just completely arc up and say, well, I'm not going to school then.
Yeah, here's the thing. Your kids are all in that middle ages, and so Elaine and I were talking about this because we've been teaching Sanity School. We started teaching Sanity School again this week, and we've been talking about the role of the parent at different stages in our kids' development, and it sounds like your kids are at the point where you want to begin to help them to take ownership of it, model organization, you're doing more of a handoff and a transition, particularly with your 13-year-old. And I wonder if you presented the family with the problem and engaged the family in the problem-solving process to say, I know you want to be able to use your laptop in the morning and connect in with your friends and your favorite things, and we also need to go to get to school on time.
Yeah.
How can we accomplish both?
Yeah.
You know, and so then you're engaging them, because what you're really trying to do is solve a problem, and you're also teaching them to problem solve instead of just presenting them with an alternative solution. Does that resonate?
Yes, definitely. And I think if I can say to them, when you have everything done by, say, 8 o'clock, then you have half an hour on your laptop before we need to go to school, or you've got 15 minutes then to sit down. So to show them that's a positive rather than, I think it's in the wording, the way I've presented it in the past.
And I think the thing that just kind of pops in my head that I don't know whether this will happen or not, but if your kids also have a difficulty with transition, you're going to want to also, and this may be something you tackle after you kind of have gotten past this stage, but to go back and say, okay, what's an effective transition plan so you can get them from the laptop into the car as well, because there's going to be a potential sticking point there,
even if
the other stuff is done. So Dawn or Lisa, what comes up for you guys around this idea of curiosity? I'm curious.
So you had mentioned, I don't know which call it was, but I heard you talk about curiosity before. And so that's what I've been using to try and figure out why he gets downstairs late. So every morning that he's late, instead of getting upset and frustrated the last few weeks, I'll just say, so why weren't you downstairs on time today? And we end up having, civil conversations about why he's not downstairs on time instead of, I don't understand what your problem is. Why can't you get downstairs on time? You're making me late because I get my day. And so instead of going on a little rant with him, I just find out why he's downstairs, not downstairs on time.
What broke down? That's interesting. So I love that, Dawn. So can I give you a slight reframe? And especially because the other two moms on the call and the ones listening might have younger kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things. One is the word why sometimes triggers people, so especially if we don't know why, it's kind of like, I don't know. And a lot of times our kids don't know why. And so you might even use a slightly different language would be, what happened that took you so long to get downstairs? Or, I noticed you took a long time to get downstairs. What's up? So it's just kind of more of a Because I think that why sometimes, and it may not for your son, it sounds like he's engaging in a great conversation, which is wonderful. But sometimes, just for maybe for other folks as well, our kids may not know why. And so asking them why, and I didn't say this earlier, but sometimes we have to be curious in our own head. And sometimes we can actually engage in a conversation with our kids about what we're curious about. They may or may not know. It just depends on their level of maturity, their level of self-awareness. And a lot of times our kids don't know why. It sounds like in this situation he does, though, Dawn. So it's a great conversation starter. So what have you been doing with when he shares with you, you know, the cause of the delay? What have you been doing with it from there?
Well, we talked about getting him a different clock. He reminded me of that, I think, yesterday or the day before. He goes, well, you said you're going to get me a different clock, because the clock that he has, I mean, he turns off the alarm when he wakes up in the morning. He's not cognizant enough to know that all he has to do is turn it off and then turn it back on so it's set for the next morning. He'll just turn it off and get up and get moving. So at night, he'll forget to turn it back on so that it'll go off the next morning. So I would like to try to find him one that when you turn it off, it just turns it off for that at that moment. But the alarm is already set for Monday through Friday at 5 or whatever he gets up. So
Dawn, listening to you talk, can I interrupt you for a second? Because listening to you talk earlier about the fact that there's something different every day. And so when you get curious about that for a second, what comes up?
Trying to just get him into a routine and I think just figuring out what the most critical step is first and taking that action on that most critical step first and then getting on from there. And so for me, the most critical step is making sure he at least wakes up on time.
So can I take you back a step? Because I think that it feels a little bit like having a routine is a solution. So if we go back to the challenge.
Okay.
What's his motivation for getting out the door on time?
Honestly, I don't know. Other than he knows that if he's late 3 times in a grading period, he ends up with detention.
And how, on a scale of 0 to 10, how motivating do you think that is for him?
Probably a 3.
Okay. Fair enough. You've been doing this program for how long, Dawn? 6 months? More than that?
I don't think it's been 6 months yet.
6 months after you start in October? Okay. So what do you know about the ADHD brain and motivation?
Sometimes we have to give them a reward to motivate it.
The reality is that an ADHD brain is almost impossible for the ADHD brain to do something unless there's a motivation there.
Motivation.
And so if he doesn't have some sort of motivation to get downstairs on time or to get to the car on time or to get to school on time, it doesn't matter what routine he has.
Okay.
There's going to be something that trips him up. And my gut's telling me that it's really – that it's a bigger systemic issue. How does that resonate for you?
Well, recently that would kind of make sense because, I mean, he likes school, and he's a senior, so maybe some of that senioritis is kicking in because he said he didn't really want to go to school. It was one day when he was hoping it would snow so he wouldn't have to go to school, which is odd because it used to be if we had too many snow days, he would get antsy and want to go back to school, and now he's looking for snow days so he doesn't have to go to school. So maybe
might be another place to get curious as well, Lisa, is kind of like what's going on for him at school. What is it about this semester? Is it senioritis? Is it that he's got a couple of classes that are really hard? Is there some conflict that he's avoiding? You know, what is it? So that's another great place to just get curious, either explicitly with him or just kind of say, well, what if it was this? What if it was that? You know, and how do you engage and ask him questions that'll help you to kind of open the door there a little bit?
Okay.
Other thoughts? Lisa, what, anything come up for you around this idea?
Well, you know, I've been trying all different kinds of things with this whole morning thing. I'm trying to get up earlier myself so that I can kind of see what he's up to at different times. Like, I have been getting curious to see, you know, where is the slowdown process. Like the other woman said, like, it's just all over the place. Like, you know, sometimes it's just that, you know, he's just sitting on the bed kind of spacing out, you know. Sometimes it's, you know, he's petting the dog. From this morning, I found him just on the floor. I'm in the kitchen, and he's on the floor in the living room just lying there, just chilling out, you know, and he's supposed to be packing his backpack. And so he just needs to be, you know, I think kind of constantly, what's the word?
Shepherded?
Yeah. Which is exactly, you know, what they have to do in school for him, too, you know. They have to kind of, you know, push him along to get what he needs to get done. And so for me, my solution, I just feel like, you know, everything's just going to go so much smoother. They have a lot less stress, you know, because I can kind of shepherd him. And he can have a few minutes to just be kind of spaced out and pet the dog or lay on the floor or read while he's eating breakfast if he just would get up a little bit earlier. And when I think about, like, well, what makes me curious about why he doesn't get up early, it's just, you know, it's warm and cozy in bed. He doesn't want to get up. And, you know, he even said to me today, he goes, I think what you should do is just tell me that it's later than it is, but tell me that I have to go to school early because it's trumpet day, even though it isn't. So he knows, and he's trying to find solutions, too. So that's positive. But I'm still, like, my thing is still, like, if he's pretty late, I'm just getting so mad, and I just kind of feel like that's where I want to focus is that, like, you, I don't know if it was you last time or not, you said, you know, like, what does it matter? You know, how important is it if he's 10 minutes late for trumpet? You know, I mean, we're usually not that late, you know. So, like, why, I'm like, I'm the one whose cortisol is, like, shooting up to the ceiling because I'm so upset that he's so late, and I don't need to get like that. And so I think I'm doing much better, not yelling so much.
Awesome. That's great, Lisa. Well, so a couple things come up for me as you're saying that. You know, the first one is that whole sort of what's going on in your head. And so when you get curious about those situations that trigger you, what do you notice are some of those thoughts that are going through your head?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you know, I'm just getting stressed out, and you know, especially if I have to be to work too. And I'm not worried about being late to work, but I'm just thinking about, like, I still have to take a shower, I have to get dressed, I have to get out the door, you know, and I can't do any of these things because I have to shepherd him every inch of the way. So, and then also, you know, I mean, I just saw this thing on Facebook, and it's like the mother asked the child 4 times to put their shoes on, and by the 4th time, she's yelling, and the kid's like, Mom, why do you always yell?
I just posted that one, too. No, but so Lisa, so if you knew, and I'm going to highlight because I heard a different energy from you. You first said, well, if we had more time, I could just shepherd him through because I really think that that's what he needs. And then I heard you say, I get so frustrated because I have to shepherd him through. And so I think that the question is, what is a realistic expectation for him in the morning when he's just getting going? It's nice and warm in bed. I don't know if he's a morning kid. I can't remember if he takes medication. You know, some of those things that mornings are not great for our kids. You know, what's a realistic expectation in the morning?
That he needs to be shepherded through. And that's why, that's why I've been trying to get up earlier myself and get myself ready so that I can keep a closer eye on him and that the stuff that I do is stuff like make lunch, you know, while he's eating breakfast or while he's getting ready so, you know, I can keep an eye on him as opposed to taking a shower. I still think that he needs to get up earlier so that he has time to, you know, do all the things that he has to do in the morning without me or him getting stressed out.
Yeah, I think that sounds like that's a great solution from your perspective. I think that I'm going to challenge you to add to that something. Are you willing to take my challenge?
Yeah.
because I know that intellectually you're sitting here going, yes, he needs to be shepherded. But my guess is that for you in the morning, there are going to be times that having to shepherd him through is going to be a little stressful for you. Is that fair?
But that's kind of how it's been forever. So
okay. Well, so what would you need to tell yourself so that instead of getting frustrated that you're having to shepherd him, that you'd say, well, this is my job. I'm shepherding him through, and this is part of what I do in the morning.
I really want to be on time. And I really want him to be on time. So if I'm shepherding him through and we're running on time, then it's a good morning. And if I'm shepherding him through and we're not running on time, then it's not a good morning. And if he's 10 minutes late for 30-minute band practice, then it's really not a good morning. He doesn't care. But I'm like, like saliva is coming out of my mouth.
No. And that takes you back to the conversation we had last time. So,
right.
And I think that's the thing is that if you can replace the thought in your head that, oh, this is terrible if he's, late, with something else that you're willing to consider is true, well, the world will not end if he's late for band or whatever the language is.
Right.
How does that help you in managing your own stress, Lisa?
Yeah, I think that will be fine for me to do that, to say that and not get quite so upset. Yeah, what I need.
The other thing that came up for me as you were talking about this was, can you use curiosity and playfulness together to engage your kids? Right. So it's kind of like if Dawn, this might be interesting if your son is at all playful, but the same thing, Jeanette, with you is kind of like, let's see if we can be detectives and figure out how to make this work. And let's be curious and let's get our magnifying glasses out and say, okay, over the next week, we're going to try 70 million different things to try to get us out the door on time. And let's make it a game out of it. And so then you're being curious together to say, well, if we tried this, would it work? If it tried this, would it work? If we made pancakes the night before and put them in the refrigerator and ate them as we're walking out the door, would it work? It's just kind of like you're playing a game with them and getting curious with them about different things that you could do to solve the problem. You're teaching them problem solving. You're staying curious and you're engaging them in the process. So that's just something that kind of came up to me for me. I don't know if that's intriguing enough to anybody to tackle it, but I'm just wanted to share that.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other thoughts before we go to our wrap up?
Nope, not for me.
All right. So there's four questions we always ask. And Jeanette, do you have the workbook? I want to make sure I didn't even think to ask.
Yes,
you that
I've got the workbook. Now I've just started on page one, lesson one.
Okay, so we're on page 34 is where we are. So what you'll come around back to one, so you're jumping in when we're on lesson 30, on the lesson on page 34,
okay.
And then you'll get back in. So we're on curiosity, which is on page 34. So each week you'll read the lesson. In the email on Monday, it'll tell you which lesson to read.
Okay.
And then we'll go and do that.
I had
and so you'll
read
get
lesson one on my email.
So because you just started, the first lesson is where you start, but then you skip for the week. You skip
to wherever I've tuned
exactly
into type thing.
So I'll double check this to make sure it works. But the welcome email should say read lesson one, and then the next Monday you'll get the lesson for they'll get the lesson for the week for the class. So
okay, I might have deleted one and kept the first one just with the phone number. That's probably what I've done.
Yep. Okay. Well, so you can go back through. We talked a little bit about curiosity, which was on page 34, I think it was. Is that the page we were on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
34. And so just go back and read page 34 when you get a chance,
okay.
Jeanette. And then
one. I've got what is realistic action step for me to take on page 34.
Yep, that's
before that, in class exercise, so it's lesson 4 or lesson 5?
So this is on, I'm on page 30, so I wonder if you have the
I think
workbook, or have you got
maybe
the Sanity
I've just done
School
the workbook. I've got the workbook. Is that it, the workbook and journal?
Let's stay on for a minute afterwards, and I'll help you figure out. But those 4 questions are the right questions, Jeanette. So, the first. So what we're going to do is I'll read all of the questions. You guys will take some notes, and then I'll ask everybody to share one takeaway or aha, and what they want to commit to in terms of their action steps for the next week. So the 4 questions are: what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, jot down some notes. It looks like Lisa had to bop off. So Dawn and Jeanette, once you kind of have thought through that, I would love to hear from both of you.
Okay. Sorry. You go, Dawn.
Okay. So the point that you mentioned about his motivation is what I paid most attention to in trying to figure out, and it never would occur to me that there's some reason why he just doesn't want to go to school or if it's just senioritis, because actually he was excited. We went to the doctor today. And he mentioned to the doctor that he was excited about his report card because he had no C's on his report card. I think he had all B's and maybe one A, but, he was excited about the fact that he had no C's. So I don't think it's really academic reasons that he's not more, motivated to go to school, but I do need to figure out why. It just never occurred to me. I mean, I was surprised when he said he was looking for snow because he didn't want to go to school, but it didn't occur to me to ask him, well, why don't you want to go to school?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's in the realistic action step for me to take is to just sit down and listen to him, talk to him, ask a couple questions, and make sure I frame it so that he's not doesn't feel like he's being attacked. And use the what happened and not why, but, and even though it's what you said to ask him about, his morning routine, I think it's probably a good way to approach him, too, is to find out, what could be going on in school that he doesn't feel like he wants to go to school. Hopefully he won't say, well, I just want to sit home and play video games all day, but that could be it.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Jeanette, what about you?
Yep. I did not realize that ADHD brains need a motivation to do anything. That's been my aha moment. It's just like, oh, wow. So that was a really great revelation for me today. And also just the whole concept of getting curious together, because that's me naturally, but then I've got to try not to get out of control with it because, like you were saying, can we, eating pancakes as we go out the door, my kids would go crazy with really weird suggestions and we'd end up even later probably because I know myself, I get carried away. I have time management issues myself, and so because I've tried saying to the kids, you've got to get mum out the door on time because I'm really bad at it. That it doesn't help. none of us have got that. So what I think I'm going to try is that you get up and have everything done by 8:00. So we'll have that as the aim, and you don't have, and that includes me. I don't go on my phone or anything before 8:00. So it applies to everybody. And then if you have everything done, and I'll have a list of things that I think I might have the list on the bench that they can tick or see that they have to pack their bag, eat their breakfast, do their teeth, do their hair, then if it's done by 8:00 or before, they've got that time to sit on their screens until we go at 8:15. So, and to kind of start introducing that that's a privilege rather than a right slowly. I don't know, is that too much?
Well, I think that, you know, I guess the question is, what would you need to do to set yourself up for success? Is it taking one of those at a time? Is it, you know, not focusing, you know, like Lisa was saying earlier, it's like, does she need to do something to make sure she's available and undivided attention, that sort of thing? So what would you need to do, Jeanette, to set yourself up for success if you were going to tackle that whole thing?
I think that I would need to just back off, not hassle. Just, first of all, discuss it with them as an idea and get their approval so that they've got their own input into that, and that I'm doing it as well, so that we're all on an equal footing. I think that would help them. And then to set me up for success with this would be for me just to do it myself, and achieve it myself, and to say, hey, I'm in the car at 8:15. I'll just go and sit in the car. And I've done it. And I'll wait for them. And hopefully they'll be there too.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Okay, cool. Lisa, what about you? I see you're back.
Well, I'm just going to keep on going back to, you know, just trying to find ways to stay calm and just keep on kind of, you know, I can try to be curious about, you know, like you said, I can talk to him a little bit more about why he doesn't want to get up in the morning, and we tried all different things, you know, fun things, and, you know, we do that a lot, and then, you know, he will get up, but, you know, he wants me to lay down with him for a few minutes and cuddle, and you know, no matter what time it is, he wants 1 more minute, 5 more minutes, whatever, and I just get frustrated. So, I don't know. So, you know, I mean, it's, at least I'm not, you know, I'm not getting so mad anymore, like when he does get distracted and then I just kind of shepherd him back in. So that's good, because I have been, you know, thinking about being just more sympathetic to that, you know, he does easily get distracted, and that's okay. So I'm just trying to figure out how, you know, he can be easily, you know, how he can be distracted and how, you know, like I said, how we can, you know, appropriate time for that so that, you know, we can have a nice morning. So, you know, and I'm glad that he's starting to think about, you know, ways, you know, that we could get him up earlier. So it's a work in progress. But I feel like we've come a long way. I feel like we're doing a lot better. So
what do you think you need to do to set yourself up for success?
Get him up early.
You're so funny.
I hope it works, Lisa.
I hope this works, because if not, you're going to be back here in 2 weeks going, what's my next solution? So.
Well, I don't know what else to do. You know, part of it is just like, you know, I just, you know, part of me also is like, I wonder how well he would do if I just, you know, wasn't even there, you know.
Well, so Lisa, so can I give you a challenge, my dear? Stay in curiosity.
Yeah.
Stay in curiosity. You know, it's just because it's like every time we jump to problem solving, it's like you jump from solution to solution to solution, and we all get into this boat where it's like, okay, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try this. If you're doing that over and over again and you feel like you're beating your head against the wall, take a step back and just get curious and just stay there and just watch and be a detective and get really curious. And so I hope this is a good solution for you. And if it's not, then know that you've got a tool in your kit, which is to kind of just go back and say, okay, what else might be going on?
Sounds good.
All right. Cool. Great call, everybody. Jeanette, you're going to stay
on
for a minute longer.
Yes,
we'll
stay
figure
out
what's going
on
with you. And then thanks, Lisa and Dawn. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So, okay. Jeanette, I just looked you up, and it looks like you're in sanity school, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a different group. I don't know how you ended up. Did you get a notice that there was a call this time? That is so funny.
Yeah, this is the email that I got. So I'm a little bit confused because it's just like kind of bang straight into it. I'm like, wow.
Well, so the email probably said that it's Friday at noon Eastern time. Is there an ET next to it?
It just said, Eastern time. So
that
Friday,
would
February
be
the 19th at 12 p.m. Eastern time.
Right. So that's my time. So if that call is actually at noon tomorrow, my time, which will be sometime on Saturday, your time, is that right?
Oh,
is
okay. That right? So that's not a good one. So the other option is the Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Right.
Now that would be
a
midday for you.
Wednesday.
It?
So Wednesday. So 8
Wednesday,
p.m. here.
So I'll change
that'd
to
be Wednesday lunchtime.
Midday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday lunchtime I'll change to then.
Cool.
Okay.
So go back and listen. So, if you aren't going to be able to join the one, I'm trying to think, so 12, so noon here is that, that's in the middle of the night, right? Isn't that, or like 3 in the morning or something?
So
you can always go back and listen to the class from this week. You will be able to. Send me a note. Tell me why. So do you need me to help you translate the times for the two calls? But it'll be.
No, that's okay. No, I'm just thinking, would that be right? If this.
It's
12. February on a Tuesday at 8 p.m.
It's Wednesday at noon. So right now it's Thursday at 8 p.m. here. It was Thursday at 8 p.m. here when we started, which you said was noon your time on Friday.
And
Tuesday at 8 p.m. here is noon on Wednesday
On a Wednesday lunchtime. So all of mine will be on Wednesdays at 12. That's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That's doable for me. So,
okay.
And then
ring
the same
phone
number.
The same number will work on those calls too because we use
same
number dial-in.
Same code.
Yes. The same code.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, if you want to listen to the recording from tomorrow, you'll get an email with a link in it.
Okay. So I haven't got that yet.
After tomorrow. So anytime after, after you get up on Saturday morning, I think she'll load up the recording tomorrow afternoon before she leaves. So that would be, 5 o'clock. So I would say by lunchtime on Saturday,
I'll have it then.
The recording will be up there. And if you want to send me an email and I can send you the link if you have any trouble finding it. But at the bottom of the page, so do you have the email that you have? Do you have the email that they sent? Let's see. The one that you said your call is in 1 hour, you would have gotten one on probably Wednesday morning at 11. There was an email that went.
I got the Sanity School parents, finally the week we've been waiting for, and then it just said choose which Sanity School call you plan to attend.
The one that you got on the 17th.
I think I've deleted that one. Hang on, I'll go into my.
You want me to send it to you again?
Yes, if you could send that one to me again, and then I'll have that one.
Right, and
is
so
that
this
the one with
has,
links? Is it?
Yeah, this one has the links in it. So
okay.
JANNETTE. Your email is, do I have the right email here?
Yep, JeanettePedenis at bigpond.com. So it's JANNETTEPADINIS. Got it?
I had an E in there. That was my problem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to send you this now. And in that is a link. And that's the link that we use for the live events for the web. But at the bottom of that page, at the bottom of the page is a link that says, click here to go to listen to the recordings or the replays or something. And so right now the Tuesday call is in there. But Elaine and I are going to do it again tomorrow. And so, you know, watch it sometime over the weekend and enjoy it. And then you'll be caught up. And then next Wednesday you can join us.
Okay. So the Sanity School one is it on the telephone or is it on computer?
You can do it either way. Yes. It's a larger group. So this one, in the Parent Success System, you pick a group and you are part of that group, and it's every other week calls. It's much more intimate, like it is tonight. You know, there was only three of you on the call, and so it's a small group with a coach. The Sanity School is more of a training. So tonight I spent 5 minutes training.
Yes.
On the regular calls, we spend 45 minutes training. We do a couple of exercises, and then there's a Q&A at the end. So it's much more like being in a class than it is being in a group coaching setting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, figure out what works for you. We would love to have you, if you decide that, wow, I like having the more intimacy, you know, if you want to switch programs, we can, you know, and you think that this
would work
for you.
Yeah, really
think about doing that.
Yeah. Because I've got something really concrete now that I can go away and work on.
And the other thing that we have a couple of people doing right now is that they know that they want to be in the Parent Success System, but they're going to start with Sanity School so that they can get more of a foundation, because in 6 weeks you'll very quickly go through our entire model. And then in the Parent Success System, then you could start the Parent Success System right from there, and then for the next many months, you would go back through and in more detail and more intimacy, say, okay, like today we talked about, or this week we talked a little bit about curiosity and you know, but it was, again, it was very quick. And so if you had that in a more extended time, it's just a great way to build on what you learn by doing, you know, more of a training and then more of and then you go on to the coaching.
Right. Okay. I know when Elaine came out to Australia, I went and saw her then. And,
oh, awesome.
And that's how I decided it was something that I wanted to get involved in, because she did the first exercise that's in the workbook here, where you've got the circle and you go through and...
Right, the wheel of life.
The wheel of life, yes. So we did all of that, and that was... That was really helpful. So is Sanity School like that?
Sanity School is going to be more like what she did in
in
the classroom. So it's really much, it is more of a training. So the two of us do the training together.
Mm-hmm.
We have PowerPoint slides like she did in Australia, and we have a topic each week, but we do it in 6 weeks. So, we do in Parent Success System, we do it in, how many calls do we have a month? 26 calls. 26 calls total.
Mm-hmm.
So we cover in 26 calls what we cover in 6 calls in Sanity School. So that kind of gives you a sense of, the intensity and the level of it. But I think it would be great for you to start with Sanity School, get used to, you know, get a full exposure. And if this time of night works, then just roll right in and start joining our 8 o'clock on or noon on Friday parent group. I'd love to have you do that afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll do that. I'll link in and listen to the lesson that I need.
So on Wednesday, Wednesday you can either listen on the web, so that link that's in that email, you'll be able to just listen and then you can type in questions. If you want to dial in using the phone number that I gave you for tonight, you can dial in using that same number. And then you'll just be listening on the phone as opposed to, and you can watch the slides on the internet. So you can do it either way. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah, I might do that because I like hearing. I'm a bit auditory that way. So I'll call
in. So you'll be able to hear, but if you're on the internet, you'll hear through your computer as opposed to hearing through your phone.
Yeah, there might be delays. I think the phone's a better option for me because our computer, our Wi-Fi is really, really bad. So we have a lot of dropout and a lot of, that when you're talking and you just get the, and you don't know what people are saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Jeanette, it was lovely to get to meet you tonight. I'm glad that you made a mistake. This is awesome to get to know you a little bit. Elaine had told me that you had signed up, and I was excited to have you in our sanity school, but it was nice to meet you a little bit more intimately.
Yeah, and then I never tuned in for sanity school.
Oh, well.
Tuned in, yeah.
You'll be on next
That's
week.
Okay.
We'll talk to you then.
Lovely.
All right,
okay,
my dear.
Thanks, Diane.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.